Sobhyam Shagunah Kalatma Bhagavad Vishtigochara Atmanam Vyakarod Atma Vishvashasya Sasrikshaya Sa Mahatattva Ati also Amsha Purusha Plenary Expansion Guna, chiefly the quality of ignorance. Kala, the duration of time. Atma, full consciousness. Bhagavat, the personality of Godhead. Vishtigochara, range of light of sight. Atmanam, many different forms. Vyakarot, differentiated. Atma, reservoir. Vishvasya, the would-be entities. Asya, of this, Sisrakshaya, generates the false ego. Translation in purport by Srila Prabhupada. Thereafter, the Mahatattva differentiated itself into many different forms as the reservoir of the would-be entities. The Mahatattva is chiefly in the mode of ignorance, and it generates the false ego. It is a plenary expansion of the personality of Godhead with full consciousness of creative principles and time for fructification. Purport. The Mahatattva is the via medium between pure spirit and material existence. It is the junction of matter and spirit wherefrom the false ego of the living entity is generated. All living entities are differentiated parts and parcels of the personality of Godhead. Under the pressure of false ego, the conditioned souls, although parts and parcels of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, claim to be the enjoyers of material nature. This false ego is the binding force of material existence. The Lord again and again gives a chance to the bewildered conditioned souls to get free from this false ego, and that is why the material creation takes place at intervals. He gives the conditioned souls all facilities for rectifying the activities of the false ego, but he does not interfere with their small independence as parts and parcels of the Lord. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamala Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Vadijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschat Yadeshatarine. So, Krishna is very, very kind to send us Srila Prabhupada, who is present here with us today on the Vyasasam. We're very fortunate to be here in the presence of Srila Prabhupada. meeting his purport to understand actually how we can get out of this miserable condition we're in at the present time. Right now, we're caught up in the three modes of material nature, and because of that, we're being smashed again and again through these 8,400,000 species. It's a very tough situation being in this material world. It's our own foolishness that brought us here, actually. We wanted to try to enjoy independently from the Lord. And he gave us the facility to try it. Check it out. If you want to be independent of me, I'm not going to force you to stay here in my kingdom. If you want to be independent, okay, check it out. Try it and see how you like it. I'll give you the facility to try it. So, we tried it and now we got burned. We burned ourselves. Like a little kid, he wants to stick his hand in the fire. His mother always warns him, little Johnny, don't stick your hand in the fire. But one day when the mother's out of the kitchen, he does it, you see. So we stuck our hands in the fire and now we've gotten burned, you see. So now we should learn. Now that we are burned, we should become learned, you see. That I made a big mistake trying to be the enjoyer, you know. I'm not the enjoyer. Krishna is the enjoyer, not me. Let me get free from this enjoying mood now and totally embrace the mood of service to Krishna, to Guru, to Vaishnavas. Let me fully embrace this mood of service. When we can fully enter into that mood of service, then all anxiety goes away. We only experience anxiety because we have not fully embraced the mood of service. To whatever extent we're still trying to enjoy separately from Krishna, to that extent we're suffering. So if you're ever in any anxiety, you should know it's your fault. It's your fault. Because she's still trying to squeeze enjoyment out of that place where there is no enjoyment. Panakpanascharvatacharvananam. Chewing the chewed. If there is any pleasure to be had here in this material existence, it's a long time ago finished. You see, chewing. Now we're trying to chew the chewed. We rejected material life as miserable, but still we go on trying to chew that which we already chewed and rejected. That's the difficulty that we face as neophyte devotees. We know there's no enjoyment here, but still we try to, well, maybe I can get a little enjoyment here. So it's time to wise up, to become smart, intelligent, and realize, what am I doing? Why am I such a stupid idiot that I'm still trying to squeeze some pleasure out of this miserable existence? Let me just totally, wholeheartedly, completely, 100%, 100% absorb myself in devotional service to Krishna. And we can actually break free from all of this contamination of trying to enjoy independently. Then we will experience a pleasure which is inconceivable. Brahma sokyam tunantam. We will experience a happiness which is millions and billions of times greater than any happiness you could ever get, even all the way up to the post of Lord Brahma, who is the supreme enjoyer of the material world. He has the best facilities. Even at the post of Brahma. Abrahma bhuvana loka punaravartinarjana mam upachitakanteya punarjanmana vidyate. From the highest planet in this material world down to the lowest, every single place is a miserable place, you see. But Krishna says, one who attains to my abode, punarjanmana vidyate. Punar again, janma birth, na na vidyate he takes. He does not take birth. Prabhupada says, the pauper is proud of his penny. Even though we have some puny, insignificant minuscule positions in this material world. We're not anywhere close to being Brahma or Indra or anything like that. But still we're thinking, yes, I can enjoy. You see? Such idiots we are. We still think we can enjoy. What minuscule, insignificant positions we have. So, we have to hear from these great acharyas. Mahajano yena gatatta panta. The acharyas are very clearly delineating for us what is the way out of this quagmire, what is the way out of this delusion, confusion, illusion. What is the way out of it? Is it? That is the bhakti marg, the pathway of devotional service. Sarvadharman paritnyoja mamekang shudanang vraja ahang tang sarvapapibhyo mokshyashami mashuchaha. Give up all these other isms and just take one ism only, Krishnaism. Just take one pathway only. I have only one thing to do, and that is to try to please Krishna with my every thought, my every word, my every deed in all times, all places and circumstances. This is all I need. You can take all my facility, but just let me always remember Krishna. That's all I need to be happy. You see? We don't need anything else. We don't need wife, we don't need a husband, we don't need bank balance, we don't need a house. We don't need anything. Of course, we can accept these things. But actually, all we need is Krishna. Nothing else to be. That we have to remember. We should not think we're dependent on these facilities. The Goswamis, they lived under a tree, and they were the most Krishna conscious people. Prabhupada told us in Austin, we had some difficulty when I first joined. The landlord evicted us, and we had no place to live. And Prabhupada told us we could live under a tree. But for preaching, for the sake of preaching, we should get a facility. For ourselves, we can live under a tree. Prabhupada told me. So for preaching, we should have a very nice facility. But actually, Prabhupada said all devotee requires is a little prasadam, a place to lie down, and so much devotional service to render. That's all we need. If I can simply always remain absorbed in devotional service, that's all I really need. And if one is in that mood of always serving Krishna, Krishna will take care of that devotee and make sure he has his facilities, whatever he needs to do his duties. Krishna will provide. If Krishna is providing for the atheist so much facility, how much facility he will give to the bhaktas? Those who are dedicating their life for his service. So we should not be in anxiety. We should understand I have one master, and that is Krishna. I have no other master. Of course, the guru also representative of Krishna. You see. But in the material world, I have no masters. I may utilize certain relationships, but all in the service of Krishna. Like being an employee of some company, reporting to the boss, but actually, I'm just utilizing him for my devotional service to Krishna. It's not that I'm now his servant. Of course, in a higher sense, a devotee, because he takes up the preaching mood, he's the servant of all living entities, because he wants to deliver all living entities back to Godhead. So some questions have come in. We'll take a few questions here. What time does our class end today? Normally? Anybody know? Huh?
8 o'clock.
At 8 o'clock? Okay, we got 20 minutes, all right. Okay. So we have questions also coming in. We have, this is on, going worldwide now through the internet, this lecture. So we have questions coming in also in the chat window from devotees. We'll take one from the United States first. From Austin, Texas, now a question has come in. If there is no happiness, to be found in the material realm. Why do we feel happiness and joy in certain circumstances? Okay, well, there's two ways you can be happy in this material. You can actually, well, I should take out the word, actually, there's two ways you can be happy in the material. One is you can think you're happy. That's called illusory happiness. And the other is you can actually be happy, and that is Krishna consciousness. One godbrother, his name was Baba Nanda. He was formerly a leader here, actually, in Australia. I think he stays in Sydney still, but he was on a walk with Prabhupada. He was given the name Baba Nanda. Prabhupada said, "Do you know what is the name Baba Nandi? What is the meaning?" And Prabhupada said, "It means one who enjoys this material world, Baba Nanda." And then it said, "By preaching." So actually, a devotee enjoys like anything this material world. For a devotee, the material world is like being a kid, a friend who has taken up preaching Krishna consciousness. It's like a kid in a candy shop. I mean, it really is. Yesterday we came in, we came through, customs? Yeah. And we arrived in Sydney. And you have to declare something. If you have wood or food, you have to declare it. So I always declare my neck beads, you know, wood. And Manaji declared her Jaffa beads. So the immigration or the customs man, he looked at those beads and he said, "Those are for meditation?" She said, "Yes." And we chant Hare Krishna. He says, "By chanting Hare Krishna, can you see God?" He said, "Oh, yes." Krishna says, "For one who sees me everything and sees everything in me, I'm never lost, nor is he ever lost to me." And his eyes were all lit up, and he was going like, "Wow." I said, "You can too." He said, "Oh, no." He said, "My mind's too polluted. I can't do it." But I said, "Yes, you can do it." So you see, when you're in the mood of preaching, it's like being a kid in a candy shop. We were so ecstatic. Wow. Manaji and I just looked at each other with the biggest grin after that experience, you know. Just see. So actually, you take on the mood of preaching, it's like being a kid in a candy shop. Because everywhere you go, there's opportunities for giving Krishna. And the more you give Krishna, the more you get Krishna. So yeah, a devotee enjoys the material world unlimitedly. The non-devotee sometimes thinks that he's enjoying, and most of the time thinks he's miserable. That's the material position. So now we'll take some from Melbourne. Question from Melbourne. I'm practicing from Krishna consciousness. I am practicing from Krishna consciousness. I know why I am doing this, but from a few days there are doubts coming in mind. Will you really serve in the future? Do you really want it? It's been a constant struggle. What should I do? Well, my dear devotee, I can tell you, you're having an Arjun experience. You're having doubts like Arjuna did. You see. So, why did Arjuna call Krishna Madhusudana? Because he wanted him to kill the Madhu demons of doubt within his heart. So you just have to hear, you have to read, you have to chant, engage in this process, and those doubts will be destroyed in due course of time. I am confused whom to accept the spiritual master because I like two of them. Please help. Well, you're better off than many. Many of them have more than two. They can't decide. I remember 20 or something. You're down to two. You're doing pretty good. You got to narrow down to two. You're doing pretty good. Well, what can I say? Krishna actually knows who your spiritual master is. He said, "Beg Krishna, please reveal it to me, my Lord." They're both wonderful. Of course, you can have many Siksha Gurus, but there's one who actually is your ultimate authority, the Diksha Guru. So yeah, you want to really be really careful about that. We think over 100 times before getting married, at least 1,000 times before accepting a Guru. It's a very big decision. At least 1,000 times we should consider it. So I would beg Krishna, please reveal to me who is my spiritual master. Please, Krishna. And if your desire is genuine, you really, really want to surrender, then Krishna will reveal it to you. If it's not revealed, it means you're not really ready yet. You're not really serious to fully surrender yet. Is it better for the husband and wife to have the same spiritual master? Well, in Vedic culture, that was the standard. It is convenient and it's very helpful, but depending on the situation, it may not be the best in a certain situation. Generally, you could say yes, but in particular situations, it may not be the best. If the husband is very inspired by one guru and the wife by another guru, then why you should interfere with them, you see? Of course, practically speaking, if there's any disagreement between husband and wife, if the guru is just one spiritual master, it makes it very easy for him to bring them together. So there are practical benefits, but it may, according to the mentality, it may not be the best thing. So there's no hard and fast rule. In ISKCON, everyone, it's not the husband who'd say, well, you know, if you're aspiring for someone other than the one that I'm aspiring for, then I, as your husband, I order you, you can't get initiated. I've seen that happen in one case. You can't get initiated then. I'm the husband and I'm your guru, therefore I say, if you don't want to get initiated by him, you can't get initiated. I saw a husband do that one time. That's not right, is it? In ISKCON, every single devotee has the right to choose their guru. You don't have to choose your husband's guru or your wife's guru. It's not required. It's nice if it's the same, but then again, every devotee should follow their heart. Okay, in yesterday's purport, the last sentence, Prabhupada writes, the Mahatattva, pure goodness with a slight addition of the material mode of passion. But in today's verse, it is stated the Mahatattva is chiefly in the mode of ignorance. Can you please explain this point? Well, wasn't here yesterday for that class. Okay, the Mahatattva is, or a shadow of pure consciousness, is the germinating place of all creation. It is pure goodness with a slight addition of the material mode of passion, and therefore activity is generated from this point. And here the Mahatattva is. Junction of matter and spirit. Chiefly in the mode of ignorance. Let's see where he said that. It's in the translation or the purport. Where does it say that? It's a bi-medium and it's a junction. All living entities are part of one another. False ego. In the translation of the purport? In the purport? Oh, in the verse, okay. Chiefly in the mode of ignorance. Okay, that's interesting. How can something which is pure goodness with a slight addition of passion be primarily in the mode of ignorance? That's a very interesting question. Very, very interesting question indeed. Shows you how tricky the modes of nature are, doesn't it? Very tricky. You have pure goodness with a slight addition of passion becomes chiefly in the mode of ignorance. Wow. So, we can understand from this. Let's say you're in a state of pure goodness. But you throw a little passion in there, very dangerous, because then you can go completely into ignorance. That's all I can say right now. Any contamination, even a slight contamination in the mode of passion, can bring about complete ignorance in the consciousness. Yeah. So very careful.
Can we analyze it through the Brahma Samhita?
What verse?
Sira means that it's like Lord Shiva, with the little state of Lord Shiva.
Yeah.
Just
as milk, in contact with acid becomes transformed into yogurt. And the yogurt is neither the same as nor different from its cause, milk. So I worship the primeval Lord Govinda from the state of Shambhu. Lord Shiva is a transformation for the work of destruction.
The work of destruction is done in mode of ignorance.
What's that?
And Lord Shiva.
Yeah. Yeah, he engages in the tamasic work of destruction, even though he's the pure devotee.